We crossed over the road and went through the gap. We walked on up the cart track, and when we reached the crest of the hill, we could see the wood ahead of us, huge and dark, with the sun going down behind the trees and little sparks of gold shining through. "No talking, Danny, once we're inside. Keep very close to me and try not to go snapping any branches." 5 minutes later, we were there. The wood skirted the edge of the track on the right-hand side, with only the hedge between it and us. "Come on," my father said. "In we go." He slipped through the hedge on all fours, and I followed.
It was cool and murky inside the wood. No sunlight came in at all. My father took me by the hand, and together we started walking forward. I was very grateful to him for holding my hand. My father was very tense. He was picking his feet up high and putting them down gently on the brown leaves. He kept his head moving all the time, the eyes sweeping slowly from side to side. We went on like this for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, going slowly deeper and deeper into the wood. Then a large patch of sky appeared ahead of us in the roof of the forest, and I knew that this must be the clearing. My father had told me that the clearing was the place where the young birds were introduced into the wood in early July, where they were fed and watered and guarded by the keepers, and where many of them stayed from force of habit until the shooting began. "There's always plenty of pheasants in the clearing," my father had said.
"And keepers, Dad?"
"Yes," he'd said. "But there's thick bushes all around, and that helps." The clearing was about 100 yards ahead of us. We stopped behind a big tree, while my father let his eyes travel very slowly all around.
"We're going to have to crawl the next bit," he whispered, letting go of my hand. "Keep close behind me, and do exactly as I do." "Off we go, then."
My father got down on his hands and knees and started crawling. I followed. He moved surprisingly fast on all fours, and I had quite a job to keep up with him. Every few seconds he would glance back at me to see if I was all right. We crawled on and on, and then at last we were kneeling safely behind a big clump of bushes right on the edge of the clearing. My father was nudging me with his elbow and pointing through the branches at the pheasants. The place was absolutely stiff with them. There must have been at least 200 huge birds strutting around.
"You see what I mean?" he whispered. It was a fantastic sight, a poacher's dream come true, and how close they were. Some of them were not 10 paces from where we knelt. I glanced at my father. His face was transfixed in ecstasy.
"There's a keeper," he said softly.
I froze. At first I didn't even dare to look.
"Over there," my father whispered.
I mustn't move, I told myself, not even my head.
"Look carefully," my father whispered, "over the other side, by that big tree." Slowly, I swiveled my eyeballs in the direction he indicated. Then I saw him.
"Dad,"
I whispered. "Don't move now, Danny. Stay well down. It's all right. He can't see us." We crouched close to the ground, watching the keeper. He was a smallish man with a cap on his head and a big double-barreled shotgun under his arm. He never moved. His face was shadowed by the peak of his cap, but it seemed to me that he was looking straight at us.
"Should we go, Dad?"
"Hush." Slowly, never taking his eyes from the keeper, he reached into his pocket and brought out a single raisin. He placed it in the palm of his right hand, and then, quickly, with a little flick of the wrist, he threw the raisin high into the air. I watched as it went sailing over the bushes, and I saw it land within a yard of 2 hen birds. Both birds turned their heads sharply at the drop of the raisin. Then one of them hopped over and made a quick peck at the ground, and that must have been it. I looked at the keeper. He hadn't moved. I could feel a trickle of cold sweat running down one side of my forehead and across my cheek. I didn't dare lift a hand to wipe it away. My father threw a second raisin into the clearing. Then a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. It takes guts to do that, I thought.
If I'd been alone, I would never have stayed there for one second. But my father was in a sort of poacher's trance. For him, this was it. This was the moment of danger, the biggest thrill of all. He kept on throwing the raisins into the clearing, swiftly, silently, one at a time.